Await, no longer greatness has arrived. Welcome to episode 275 of the Trophy Room, a PlayStation podcast made by the players for the players. I'm your host, Joseph, aka Mr. Badbit, and it is here where me and my best friend Kyle talk about the latest, the greatest in all things PlayStation. Of course, this week we're talking all about the new PlayStation Plus tiers are here in North America, and we're going to give our impressions of them. We're going to be talking about the rumors and leaks surrounding not just the PlayStation 5 Pro controller, but some Final Fantasy news on top of that. A possible 7 Part 2? Who knows? Well, we're about to find out. Also, we'll be breaking down the Capcom Showcase and all the multi-platform games we saw out of the Xbox Showcase. And, of course, we're going to be talking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge impressions, and so much more. But with all that said, with all that out of the way, the greatest co-host whoever is, whoever will be, Mr. Kyle Stevenson. How are you, sir?
With all that lead up, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, yes, there's been a lot of exciting things going on, a lot of real new video games. But man, that real world really kicked the shit out of me today. Not fun. No. But you know what? I'm happy to be here with you, like always. I'm happy to talk a lot of video game news, because it feels like 2 weeks crammed in 4 days worth of stuff.
Dude, it's so much. Like this,
and we're not done.
We're not even done. We're still in the Summer Game Fest like calendar somewhere.
Yep.
You know, like there's still things somewhere we haven't.
We're still there. We're trying to figure out how to get out, but we're just lost in the maze.
We're in the maze right now. Like Ubisoft announced an announcement of an announcement that we'll hear shortly.
Oh my god, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In September. It's like this, we're never escaping the Game Fest.
Nope.
It's always with us now. Here's I want to start the show a little different. Right? Okay. Something a little new. We do this from time to time, but I want to get a question in to start the show. This comes from over on Twitter, where you can follow us at PS Trophy Room. No Fate writes in, I've been listening to the show for a while now, and I'm curious, what's your background? Your show seems to have come a long way in a short time with great guests, etc. So did you already have contacts in the biz, or is it just all hard work and pure talent and charm?
Mm-hmm.
Look at you kissing up and getting in the front of the show. That's why he's there.
Exactly. It works. Yeah. Hey, flattery works sometimes.
Exactly. So the background is, this is just a lot of hard work and dedication.
Yeah. So I came in after Joe has already been doing the work as a content creator for a little bit. He had his own YouTube channel and whatnot, and I just wanted to talk PlayStation one day when I met him in real life in New York City at a community meetup for Kind of Funny, Best Friends, and Joe hit up the group chat. It's like, hey, Kyle, you want to talk PlayStation? Or I'm looking for somebody to talk PlayStation. I was like, hi, me, yes, please. I dream of always wanting to do that. And it's been 3 years, and it's just like, for me, learning on the fly, every episode, if you ever do go back, I know some of you are going back and listening to the old episodes, God willing, Godspeed. I learned on the fly, week to week, and then that led to me doing my own podcast, so launching 6-1 Indie and doing stuff over there, and streaming. It all started when Joe took a chance on me and not knowing anything.
Yeah.
So Joe knows a lot of the background stuff, and as far as like guests and whatnot, we just worked our asses off.
Yeah, it's a lot of. I'll be honest.
Nobody at the beginning.
It's a lot of luck. It's a lot of determination. It's about running into the right people at the right time. It really is about working your butt off, man. The Trophy Room is like a second full time job. You know, it's something that I constantly think about every day, how to improve and how to get better. And, you know, it's awesome when we have those big guests on the show and then, you know, off air, they compliment us on how the show's run and how it sounds and all that stuff. And it's awesome to hear that because it's so gratifying because it's like, yeah, it is so much work to just sound good. And there's so much effort to put into it, but it's so worth it. Like, you know, for so many of the newcomers that have stepped on in here, my background is simple. I started a YouTube channel, and then I slowly found out that YouTube's just a cesspool of negativity. It was just a podium where I got to talk about, you know, stuff for 5 minutes, and it didn't feel great to me. Like we're yelling at companies over, you know, plastic bags or nylon bags when it comes to Fallout 76. And I kind of fell out of love with doing it. And what I enjoyed doing was podcasting, actually having a conversation. And what I love about this podcast is like bringing you guys into the conversation. Like this week's awesome, not just because of all the awesome questions that were, the topics we're getting, but because of the questions you guys are sending in.
Yeah.
Like that's what makes this show so great, is it's so interactive. And so, yeah, for the past 3 years, we've just been busting tail, making this show the best it can be. And honestly, it's, you know, it's like, what is it? Sic Parvis Magnus, right?
Sic Parvis Magna.
There you go. I can't. Latin, guys, it escapes me.
From greatness comes small beginnings.
Yeah, because today, like, one of our biggest goals was we hit 10,000 downloads in a week.
Hoo-wee!
Hoo-wee! We charted on the top 50 of not just video games, because we hit almost the top 10 in Great Britain.
Yeah.
We broke the top 25 in America. But leisure, the biggest and most densely populated podcast category, we charted in the top 50 in the world.
It's crazy.
And that doesn't happen because, you know, of dumb luck. That's just a whole lot of hard work. And it's a whole lot of you all listening, you all tuning in.
And sharing us with your friends and retweeting the links. And like, that helps tremendously, more than you ever know.
Yeah. And like, you know, rating us 5 stars. I know this sounds like a giant plug, but like it is one of the biggest dopamine hits or serotonin hits where we see that like y'all will type like, you know, delicious num noms and just leave a 5-star
review. All those sweet num noms.
Oh, I don't like it. I don't like it. That should be the new banned word. But like, yeah, that is to me the best feeling that we're able to just, I guess, resonate with so many people.
Also on that note, hi, YouTube watchers.
Hi.
What's up? What up? Happy to have you here watching us on YouTube.
Absolutely.
Joe didn't mean that about our YouTube channel. YouTube channel is fantastic.
No, I mean like YouTube content creation is bad.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. chasing the headline. Everyone's doing the shock faces and thumbnails. And
I don't have the energy to do that. Yeah. I honestly think we could be way bigger, way faster, but it's just like, God, I don't want to pretend to be shocked at a lower left-hand side of the image. And you could just Photoshop that into anything, you know?
Yeah.
Boy. That said, here's
thinking face, right?
I've done it a few times. It's very, very successful.
It works.
Very. It is minimal effort.
People scroll by like, I wonder what that guy's thinking about right now.
Atlas thinking, yes.
He's just thinking about Lady D.
God, am I always. There's always a part of my brain, Lady D. Oh, my goodness. She's so tall, and maybe she's even so strong. Let's get into a little bit of housekeeping before I creep everybody out. I want to thank everybody over at patreon.com/PS Trophy Room. Of course, just listening in, rating us 5 stars, that's enough support. That's just amazing as is. If we ever got you through a long car ride, though, if we ever got you through a long day at work, whatever your situation is, it really does help us out. If you toss us a buck our way over at patreon.com/PS Trophy Room. And just like our platinum members, Todd Burowitz and Toxic, our gold members, Too Soon, Gavin Gottfried, Jose Jimenez, Jedi Master Ren, Metal Kirby, Awesome Dave, Robbie Bobby Miller, and Strubel in Bits. I want to thank our Silver Plus members, Hide Indoors, Naka Chaka, Marcus O'Neill, JB the Purple Monkey, Jados Vaughn Metal, Tim Ulf, Justin Rodriguez, Cypher Primus, Captain Logan, Brenton Zachary, K Grimm, Rick Arrington, Dewane Raksha, The Good Sir, Mr. and Mrs. Nasty Boots, Drellish, Foolish Fuji, Any Day Now, Kevin Mitchell, Kevin Diaz, Manx Vizia, The Lord Commander Corgi, Elo 2432, Stephen Flesh, Jinx, The 25th, Bubble Boy N7, Jesse Garcia, Hambone, The Aztec King, Millennial Falcon Gaming, Darth Simon, The Pie Man. Thank you all so very much for your support over at patreon.com.
For video users, I showed off the mic that I have because of you. Very fancy mic, which I will be hooking up, and hopefully next week you'll be hearing my voice through this high-tech wizardry
that is microphones. The SM7B, the legendary one. You know what they always say? You know what they say every time they bring up the mic? Michael Jackson sung into this when he sung Thriller. And I'm like,
are you saying that I'm going to have a career as a Michael Jackson-esque singer? none of the other side. Yeah,
none of the other side activities.
No, I'm just talking about pure talent on the mic.
I would pay good money over at patreon.com/PSU for you to see you in the Thriller suit. I'm talking red jacket. I'm talking the red leather pants. I love the dance. You already got it.
Yeah,
oh my God. Let's get this boy a jacket again.
Patreon.com. Get this boy a jacket. Instead of T'Challa saying, get this man a shield. Get this boy a jacket. Get this.
Let's appropriate something. All right, Kyle. It is time to square up the news.
First bit of news that needs to be squared up is from Zermina Khan over at PS Lifestyle. Here are all the multi-platform announcements from Xbox Bethesda Showcase. Wolong Fallen Dynasty. Team Ninja announced Three Kingdoms thriller Wolong Fallen Dynasty. It will release in early 2023 for the PS4 and PS5.
Stop.
I was gonna say, worth noting,
go for
one of the producers is the producer of Bloodborne.
Day one,
right? Joe was like, oh, that looks cool. And then I told him that. I was like, oh, no, day one. It's
day one. Continue, sir. Sorry.
Yeah. Plague Tale Requiem is still on track for 2022, but a release date wasn't announced. That's because they're doing their own showcase later in this month. That's
right. Me. Never escaping the Game Fest.
Never escaping. Overwatch 2 multiplayer is indeed going free to play, and it will release in early access on October 4th, 2022.
My birthday!
Yay!
Blizzard's like, we know how to get you back.
The Elder Scrolls Online High Isle expansion will release on June 21st. Fallout 76 expansion, Fallout 3 Classic The Pit, is headed to Fallout 76 this September. Flintlock The Siege of Dawn, a third-person action RPG, will release in early 2023. Minecraft Legends, action strategy game based in the Minecraft universe, will release on PS4 and PS5.
And I want to break in on these three things.
Of course, go ahead.
Diablo 4 BB. Oh, this feels good. I feel energy coursing through my veins. Diablo. No, Diablo 4 isn't ditching the PS4 or Xbox One. It's adding PS5 and Xbox Series X/X versions. Now, to note, this means that Diablo is coming out before June 30th of next year.
Of next year, yeah.
Note. All right, let's get upset. PlayStation
could be an early access thing too, right?
No. Or beta. This is the real deal.
Okay,
this is the real deal. Yeah. Now it's time for the PlayStation audience to get irrationally upset.
Sure.
Persona has betrayed PlayStation. How dare Persona 5 Royal, Persona 4 Golden, and Persona 3 Portable that are also headed to the PlayStation 5? Though there was a confusion about it yesterday, also come to Xbox and Nintendo. Come on, you know? I should yell at a developer about it. But Cloudside writes in, Cloudside says, or asks the following, it's great to see Persona 3 and 4 Golden coming to the PlayStation 5 as well as Xbox in the future. Now, the exclusive deal with PlayStation is almost over for Persona 5. Do you think Atlus is working on Persona 6 as well as a PlayStation-timed exclusive? Kyle?
Yes.
You still think it's a timed exclusive?
I still think so. I still think PlayStation knows the value of having a Persona only on PlayStation for a certain time frame. That is extremely valuable.
I think it's extremely valuable, but I also think Atlas knows. And I don't know how much I don't know if there's enough money in the world that PlayStation can offer.
Sure.
If we see an Xbox, you know, if the Xbox Game Pass numbers are truly as impressive, or Nintendo Switch, which I'll be honest, I'm very tempted to get Persona 3 or 4 on because I want to play those games on the go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see, I could see them parting ways. I think this is like an announcement. And
I mean, I can see it happen. I think I'm with you. I can see them waiting to see how well they do on these two other ecosystems for the first time. But I think PlayStation will give them whatever amount they want to keep some sort of exclusivity for the next mainline Persona. I truly think they will give them whatever they want.
Okay. I think it's the other way around. I think Phil Spencer is willing to give Persona any which money they could to keep it away from being exclusive.
You know who wins here? Atlas and Persona.
Yeah.
whatever happens.
It's not, yeah. I'm not seeing the money. Good for them. This game is awesome. And honestly, I'm not going to play it on Xbox. I'm probably going to play it on Nintendo.
Sure.
Mario gets more of my money, those sons of guns. Which, real talk, Kyle, I've seen the Super Nintendo Land in Japan. It opened up.
Oh, yeah.
I've been looking at videos. Man, I need that. I think cool. The world needs a ticket to Disney World or Super Nintendo Land. I think we could start repairing the world that way.
You know? There is one of those coming in Orlando, I think, next year.
So. Next year, early 2023. Makes me think. Maybe I go to Galaxy's Edge and I go to a Nintendo World.
Could be.
But if you pick because you could pick, like, you know how, like, in Disney World you got those wristbands?
Yes.
If you pick Toad, just get out. Just get out. I don't want that Toad life in my... No.
Why?
Toad's stupid.
What's with the Toad slander?
Toad isn't worth a wristband. Yoshi is.
Oh, absolutely.
While Luigi is, Toad not.
Mm-mm. Whoa. Oh, I don't know about that.
All right. Let's get into my next hot take here. All right, ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Kojima betrayed us all. Hideo Kojima and Xbox are indeed teaming up for a game. Still no word on what Overdose is. That's the rumored project. Mm-hmm. We should yell at Hideo Kojima and we should make him
make a statement.
Yeah, that it's not that he's still working with PlayStation in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. How dare he?
How dare he? I'm going to play this game.
Okay. Gamers are so stupid. I hate this so much. I can't even play it off. Like, I just hate it.
No, it's the worst.
You know what I'm honestly bummed at? Because I don't know the size of Kojima Productions. I'm more bummed that it's going to take me longer to play a Death Stranding 2 sequel or whatever it comes to PlayStation. That is what I'm more bummed at, is the length of time in between, not that he's making a game on Xbox.
Yeah. I think he's working on an Xbox game and a PlayStation game.
I mean, he very well could. Yeah. I don't know how big that team is, honestly.
He's got quite a few. I know he's got an LA studio. I know he's got a Netherlands studio and a studio, of course, in Japan. So I think he's
all right. It's a capable team. I'd be very happy to be wrong.
Yeah. But that said, he's his own company. Yeah. I bet PlayStation offered him a suitcase full of cash. He was just like, no, I want to be independent. Yeah. This is it. Like, this is him being that
Konami burned him bad.
Yeah. I would never want to boss
again. That free life. Yeah, absolutely. Exactly.
Kyle, the last game on the list you can...
Naraka Bladepoint. Despite originally being revealed for the PlayStation 5, Naraka Bladepoint is currently only dated for Xbox.
They betrayed us yet again.
It was a pretty good showcase for Game Pass subscribers overall, and one that showcased the service's incredible value.
Sermina Khan, how dare you say that on a PlayStation website? Drellish writes in, guys, I need to hear your opinion on the Xbox/Bethesda showcase. General thoughts and feelings. What first party games made an impression? What's your thoughts on the indie games lineup, Kyle, and Starfield showing?
Sure. Do you want me to go in order?
Yeah, go in order.
I thought the Xbox Bethesda show was okay.
I thought it was good.
It wasn't a bad show whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's just, I watched that, started off incredibly strong. And I was like, yes, I'm in. These all look awesome. Going to play them immediately. Redfall looks like so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
So we saw Silksong finally. Hell yeah. It started out super strong. And then there was a lot that was not me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play League of Legends or anything from Riot. So that was a good 5-minute chunk. I'm not an Overwatch fan. That's another chunk gone. The Forza Motorsport is I don't really like the sim racers. It's beautiful, but that was a solid 5-10 minute chunk that I wasn't into. Like, if I was just looking at it, there were big chunks of time that I was just like, they're not speaking to me personally. So it was just okay. The indies they showed, way up.
Yeah.
Cocoon, the Mysterious Case of Benedict Fox or whatever it was called. Yep. Fantastic. Those games look so cool.
But it just left you
whelmed. Just left me like, I guess I could say it here. What a hot take that I've been thinking about the last couple of days. Uh-oh. And I hate hot takes, but I'm going to say it. And I truly missed the Ubisoft and EA press conference over the weekend.
Yeah.
I felt like it was missing another big, huge quadruple A, whatever you want to say, kind of showcase, right? Like I feel the weight of that, like there was a missing hole in my entertainment around E3 time.
Same. For me, the initial impressions were, wasn't great. Initial impressions. Mm-hmm. Because to me, yeah, there wasn't a lot that struck at me. But the more I thought about it, I'm like, Joe, you're excited for Diablo 4. Joe, you're gonna play Overwatch 2. Who cares if I'm playing those games on PlayStation? It's awesome I'm playing those games on PlayStation. But like, those are two games you're excited about right there. You know, Redfall has you pretty excited. I'm not sitting here saying this is gonna be the next, you know, this is Arcane's Destiny or whatever. No.
Yeah, no.
But like, I thought it was a very good showcase. And you're right, like, though I don't care for League of Legends, that's a huge audience.
That's a huge deal.
And the value you get across all Riot games just because you're a Game Pass subscriber.
I think all champions in League of Legends cost around $700 on their own if you bought everybody.
Yeah.
And they're all unlocked with Game Pass. That's nuts.
That's nuts. So like, there are some things where I can't escape that, like, okay, that's cool. And like, Plague Tale Requiem is coming out this year at Sean Capri. So like, I'm excited for that as well. So overall, I thought it was a great show, but you know, and I'm not a huge indie guy, so a lot of the indies didn't strike at me. Though Squanch Games,
hope that comes to PlayStation.
It was like
High on Life.
High on Life, where like humans are drugs for aliens, and you're trying to stop this human cartel, and at the same exact time, it's like Oddworld's Wrath. Right?
Sure.
Where like the guns are talking to you and they shoot weird crap. Like that was
hilarious. and their voice, like JB Smoove is the voice of a gun. I think Jason Manzoukas is another voice.
Oh my god,
like,
is he really?
I believe he's the one that with the babies. Like, oh god, yeah, those things you shoot, those are my babies. Don't worry, I grow them more. Don't worry about it. All right. It's got like the Trover Saves the Universe humor that is Squanch Games, that is Justin Roiland.
Awesome.
Surprised at how gorgeous that game looked, by the
way. Then we get to Starfield.
Yeah, let's get to
Starfield. Elephant in the room. I'm gonna just say it. The comparisons are just.
Yeah.
It looks like No Man's Sky, and like Drellish writes in, and I love what Drellish said here. He goes, "My feelings on Starfield: unapologetic nod to No Man's Sky. This will not be a game that I will be playing. Somehow, it feels like Starfield tries too hard to be for everything for everybody, but time will tell. I would rather watch the story on a Let's Play or on a YouTube video rather than engage with it." It's kind of how I thought about it. And I hate that like people are yelling at this comparison, because the only thing we've seen of Starfield is what they've shown us. So like, we don't have this game in our hands yet, because that comparison could be totally wrong. But until we're actually playing the game,
small part of it.
Yeah, until we're actually playing the game, it looks like No Man's Sky, and it looks like Bethesda saw No Man's Sky. It was just like, okay, how do we fit Fallout 4 in it? And so to me, it wasn't like, oh, no other developer can touch space but No Man's Sky. It's like, you can just do something that's going to build upon the genre. And I don't know here where it necessarily builds upon that genre.
Sure. Right?
But yeah, it just, in short, I don't want to go on a long tangent. It just didn't do it for me.
Yeah, I mean, same. I think at first, I got that No Man's Sky vibes of scanning things and then mining the minerals and building your ships and whatnot. And base building is back from Fallout 4. And like, the combat, it just looked like Destiny.
Oh, you thought it looked like Destiny.
But I mean, just like you're in space shooting enemies, obviously not as otherworldly, which is weird because this is a space game, which brings me to my next point, where everything is too gray and dark and brown. And like, when I think of space and other planets, I want to see bright colors and weird.
Tropics.
A beach, sure, tropics. That's that we have that on Earth. I want to see something that looks like another planet in space.
Okay,
and there just wasn't enough for me there.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, the flying the ship is cool, but then finding out, like, you're not actually flying the ship. Like, you can't just seamlessly go to whatever planet, and it's still loading, and the game will land it for you, and whatever.
Yeah.
The thousand planets, way too exhausted. But somebody made a point on Twitter, yeah, and I just thought of it, and I should have looked it up beforehand.
Go for it.
But to play devil's advocate, if I was a kid in high school, this is what the tweet said, and I heard of a RPG where there's 1,000 planets and my summer vacation is coming up, I'm going to play the shit out of that game.
Sure.
That is going to be my game, which, like, I think is something a lot of us need to remember, is there's a lot of people who are not like us and in it.
Yeah.
Right. They see a really cool game that they're going to spend every waking moment playing and just eat up everything, much like Skyrim back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, it is going to be somebody's, like, favorite game of all time because of how deep and dense a Bethesda RPG gets.
I think that's a really great point, and I'm not here to counter it. I just feel like in my head, when I hear the 1,000 planets, I just think about, well, Miyazaki didn't say that there's 1,000 caves in Elden Ring. Like that's
sure.
Not
sure.
Like, it's such a used car salesman pitch that I'm like, I'm over.
I got it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
slap the trunk of the car. It's like, you'll know what's handcrafted, what's not. Don't worry. It's like, yeah, all right. But, like, your track record hasn't been great in all seriousness. Like, Fallout 4 launched pretty rough. Fallout 76 launched very rough. You know, you do have something to prove it. I just don't know if it was it. But again, that's just my thoughts.
Yeah.
Please don't yell at me. But that was the Xbox showcase. So overall, I thought it was a very good showcase. Good on them. Yeah. Not my favorite one, but great.
No. And this is something I was working on beforehand, separate from Xbox Bethesda. Mm-hmm. But I saw a couple people on Twitter over the weekend like, oh, man, I was really missing a PlayStation thing this weekend. Well, here are all the games that were announced, and I've certainly missed some that are also coming to PlayStation on all the other showcases.
Oh.
We have Industria, which was a surprise out now for PlayStation 5. Looks like Bioshock, first-person shooter. Arkanoid Eternal Battle, a Battle Royale Brick Breaker game. The original Brick Breaker Arkanoid is coming to PlayStation. Mm-hmm. Cannot wait for that. Signalis, Time on Frog Island, The Last Worker, a narrative-based game where you play as the last human worker in a fictional Amazon corporation. Mm. And you got a little robot buddy, great cast, Jason Isaacs, Zelda Williams, Die Hardman from Death Stranding, which I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Russell Quest, Frogun, Madison, Daymare 1994, Sandcastle, which is a Resident Evil PlayStation 1 inspired game, down to like the future cop outfits. I forgot what it says. It doesn't say stars, but it says something else on the back. But it looks like RPD and Jill. The Cub, Zell, XO1 coming to PlayStation. Bats, Bloodsucker, Anti-Terror Squad. That's one game. This War of Mine, Director's Cut. Dordogon, The Courier, Paper Animal RPG, Paper Trail, Snackle, Princess Farmer DLC, We Are OFK, Ludo, The Entropy Setter, Enemy of the State, Do Not Open, Bright Memory Infinite is coming to PlayStation. That was an Xbox like exclusive thing at some point. The Last Faith, which looks great, Bloodborne inspired Metroidvania.
It looks fantastic. Looks
so good. Tinykin, Serial Cleaners, which is great. Arctic Awakening, mini 6-1 indie, mini indie showcase shout out. It was in a showcase. Ill, a horror game made in Unreal Engine 5, looks insane. Solstice, The Invincible, System Shock remake, Deliver Us Mars, and then I mentioned the Wolong and Persona games. But like, there's a lot of cool indies coming to PlayStation, and there are some that I didn't even write down because it didn't say on the rundown it was coming to PlayStation.
And like games like Lucky, what is it, Plucky Squire?
Oh,
like,
Devolver, Plucky Squire.
Oh my god, it looks like
Angry Foot might be coming to PlayStation, but like,
there's so much.
So much.
Please check out Plucky Squire.
Plucked with the Lamb, game, August 11th. Woo!
That game looks incredible.
Yeah, please look at the Plucky Squire.
Yeah. It literally looks like Mario Odyssey, but like with indie love and care meets,
you know,
Toy From Story.
From the art director of previous Pokemon titles.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So,
didn't Pokemon look like that game for a very long time? I don't know.
But like for me, it's like, PlayStation is here. I mean, like it pretty much was the showcase game for Jeff Keighley's event. Like, I thought the third-party showcase was fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
And honestly, I'm going to be honest, it's my favorite showcase so far. So, like, to me, it's like PlayStation was here, but don't worry, because in a few stories, we're going to talk about how PlayStation could pop up any time now.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Nudge, nudge. Just, you know, be patient, people. Be patient. That said, Kyle, it's time for the next story on the list here, sir.
Jordan Midler over at VGC VGC writes, confirmed, Sony's classic PlayStation games on PS Plus are 60 hertz in North America. The North American version of Sony's revamped PlayStation Plus service has gone live in the region, confirming several new games and NTSC versions of PS1 classics. Last month, when the service launched in some Asian territories, it revealed that first-party PlayStation games being added to PS4 and PS5's revamped PS Plus catalog were the slower PAL 50 hertz versions. However, VGC has confirmed that North American users will get the NTSC versions. Resident Evil Director's Cut had been previously announced for inclusion in the service, and other titles known to be coming, such as PSP game Resistance Retribution, are also missing. It's worth noting that this portion of the service is expected to be updated regularly. Only the first Siphon Filter game is included, despite all three entries being rated for inclusion at the same time. PlayStation Plus's new Essential, Extra, and Premium tiers are expected to launch in the Americas on June 13th, they already did, and in Europe on June 22nd.
The Green Gorilla Gamer writes in, the new PlayStation Plus has rolled out in North America. Woo! My question for you both, did it meet your expectations? Is there anything that isn't on the service that you want to see added? Kyle, are you going to plat them all? I'm very excited for this. I hope that they add Ratchet and Clank and Sly Cooper. I do plan on at least trying all of those games on the service. Great question. Fantastic question. Yeah. Has it met our expectations? Yay and nay.
Yeah. I think this is going to look so much better in the coming months.
Yes.
Not that it's bad, because it is, there are a ton of games.
Yeah.
But they literally just took PlayStation Now and put under PlayStation Plus umbrella.
Now, that said, there are some amazing games like Guardians of the Galaxy, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Absolutely. Returnal. There are some Miles great... Morales?
Ever heard of that one?
Great games. And the Ubisoft Plus being part under this as well is fantastic.
Yeah.
So it is a great service. Yes, I hope the classics get beefed up by a big portion every single month, per se.
Yeah.
But I'm liking the start of this.
Yeah.
And also the hints of, like, maybe Last of Us Part 1 is part of this, because that is on the image at some point on the PS Plus thing.
Yeah. That was a leaked image off the site. It was Last of Us. I think that's going to be a time trial, though.
That's a good call. Yeah.
I do want to say, when it comes to the extra tier, like the one above Essential, I do actually think that's the Essential tier. Because I think the extra tier, there are so many games just at your disposal for you. Where I feel like the premium tier that's supposed to offer you all these, you know, nostalgia PS1, PS2, PS3 titles, there's just not enough there for PS1. Definitely not there for PS2, or definitely not there for PSP. So, like, it's not worth the premium tier.
Yeah.
Not even the slightest. Yet. But that will change over time. Mm-hmm. That being said, though, I do have the premium tier. Kyle, I did get to play because I mean, this is the trophy room. This is me after all. Siphon Filter.
I haven't played it yet.
Oh, my God.
Does it feel like coming home?
It does in the weirdest way, because, like, it is a PS1 game. You do have to kind of, like, realize that, like,
oh, yeah.
The low poly games, they don't age well. Definitely mechanically.
They didn't have a right stick to control the camera.
No.
Stuff like that.
No. And what I really like about the emulation here, first off, I didn't have any crashes or anything like that. But you can actually pause it and you could change the aspect ratio. You could put it to, like, CRT mode, so it gives you that classic, you know, TV image.
Sweet.
Okay. So, like, there's a lot of ways you can actually play with the game, all the way back to, you can actually fast forward and rewind sections.
You can fast forward?
Oh, sorry, not fast forward. Sorry, you can rewind.
Rewind.
You know, you can go back and forth. So, like, if you die in a level in Siphon Filter, you can just hit pause and you could go all the way back to that portion. That's cool. Yeah, I really like that because, the mechanics are clunky. You're going to mess up. Mm-hmm. So right there, I really dug what they're doing with the emulation of it. And for me, it is kind of like going home in this weird way of, like, yeah, this isn't what, you know, this doesn't hold up, But I do feel like I am a six-year-old kid in my grandma's house eating a salami sandwich, playing, you know, Siphon Filter. Like, yeah, it's giving me those vibes. I just want more of those games. And I'm going to definitely try to platinum Siphon Filter, no doubt.
Yeah. Before we get into some more questions, just a reminder out there for the community at large. I believe next week, no, in 2 weeks, we're going to be doing Road to Greatness.
Yes.
And for this month, we're voting on the PlayStation Classics choices for us to play together as a community.
Yeah.
And then you'll ask questions and we'll talk about it on the show.
What game are we playing as a community?
So right now, your choices are Ape Escape, Wild Arms, Tekken 2, and Red Faction, the PS2 environmental destruction game, which was blew my mind when I played as a kid.
Yeah, and now so you're probably like, whatever.
Levolution it came out afterwards. Yeah. So yeah, those are the games. It's on Twitter. I will probably pin it on our Twitter. I'll take the shirt down just for a little bit.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah. Go vote for it. We have 91 votes. One game has 44%. I won't tell you. You need to go vote. It's pretty clear what people want us to play.
Wild Arms.
I don't want to tell you. I don't want to sway the vote. You see, that's the difference, Joe.
All right.
I don't sway the vote in these polls. I don't rig things so we don't get to play.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Marcus O'Neill knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Puppeteer himself. But here's the great thing, though. The 60 hertz. That is a game changer because I remember trying to play all these games on the PlayStation Classic, that cash grab, and that sits right behind me. And it was just awful. It just felt so choppy. So I do like that they are at least giving us in North America the best version. Fuji writes in, sucks to be an Aussie right now because we have to wait until the 24th of June for our rollout. And knowing that we won't be able to be getting the PlayStation 3 library is also big sad. Does it bother me too much because I still have my PlayStation 3 Slim and games? My question, what was the first game you played on the new subscription? It's Siphon Filter, but I also downloaded Matterfall.
Hell yeah.
And Wild Arms, and those are the games I'll be going back to over the weekend for sure.
Sweet.
What about you?
Haven't played anything yet from the service.
How dare you?
I mean, I was playing a turtle game.
I know.
So
I'm not jealous.
But yes, Siphon Filter will be the first one. But I have, nice. I have downloaded Siphon Filter. I have actually downloaded the Toy Story 2 game.
Oh, really? Does it have trophy support or not?
I don't know. I haven't looked into it. Okay. I also downloaded Wild Arms. I downloaded both Patapon games, 1 and 2.
Nice.
And nice. Ape Escape and Red Faction, I think.
Oh, that's what I also got.
Deliver Us to the Moon, mm-hmm. I downloaded because I really wanted to play that after I saw the Deliver Us Mars trailer a few days ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's on the service. I will absolutely download that and see what it's all about.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Sweet Jedi Master Ren.
Way too many games, Joe.
Jedi Master Ren writes in, what game are you most excited to try out on the new PlayStation Plus subscription? In any generation, for any reason, my picks right now are Demon's Souls for the current hardware and Toy Story 2/Siphon Filter for the classics. That's a really... See, when it comes to PlayStation 5, I've already gotten everything. But I think Matterfall is still one to me. That is the one I'm most excited to go and try out for sure.
That is also my answer because that is the one Housemark game I have not played.
Savoy Prime writes in, do you guys think that Sony will eventually figure out how to emulate PlayStation 3 games to be downloaded instead of just the current stream only situation? Yes.
Let's see. What year is it now?
2022.
By 2024, they'll have it figured out.
Oh, yeah?
I hope so.
You give them too much faith.
I hope so.
But in all seriousness, though, like so far, it's a good start to the service. Go get extra. Avoid premium until there are some games that you're really looking forward to. Because I think the premium tier is kind of left me underwhelmed a little bit. I was expecting more games out of there. And it's pretty much the same list except for like a few exceptions like, you know, Resident Evil 1. So...
Yeah, which was a nice surprise.
Yeah. That said, Kyle, I want to talk about the next story on the list because It fills me with so much hope and love. Take it away.
Dustin Bailey over at Game Rant writes, God of War Ragnarok's Corey Barlog is teasing fans over delay rumors. As rumors swirl around God of War Ragnarok's release date, the creative director at Sony Santa Monica is starting to tweet mysterious teasers. Yesterday, Twisted Metal and original God of War director David Jaffe tweeted that he had heard conflicting reports on God of War Ragnarok's planned 2022 release. Quote, 50-50 at this point, Jaffe said. Man, when are they going to announce that date? In response, Sony Santa Monica creative director and Ragnarok producer Corey Barlog tweeted, wait, what? With a gif of Kratos emerging from the darkness. He followed it up with that meme gif of Ryan Reynolds coyly smiling. You know the one. These are Barlog's first tweets in nearly 3 months. According to a more recent report from Bloomberg, however, Ragnarok is, quote, planned for release this November, end quote. The report suggests that Sony plans to announce the final date sometime later this month. Sony's recent State of Play broadcast focused on third-party games and PSVR, so Ragnarok was never expected to make an appearance there. Many fans were hopeful for a reveal at the opening Summer Game Fest broadcast, but that obviously did not come to pass. Hopefully we'll know more by the end of June.
Yeah, so this was the huge conversation last week of reports of it being delayed to 2023. Then Jason Schreier and IGN kind of rebuked those claims, saying that, like, no, it is still slated for 2022. And, of course, anything can move out. Who knows? You know? But then Corey came back on Twitter. The first tweet is him. I missed him so much. Corey, please don't leave us again.
Don't leave us.
It's so dark here, you know?
We understand if you left for good reasons.
Yeah.
But, like, we miss you a whole lot.
Yeah, just know you were missing. Yeah, love you. I love you. Be on the show. So then Corey tweeted out, Steam Deck arrived, but probably won't get to play it for a while because I'm currently playing this other thing, and it's him holding a PlayStation 5 controller.
Yeah.
Obviously, Corey knows this. I think he's playing probably the vertical slice for PlayStation, probably as we speak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from all what the Jason Schreier, you know, information that he laid out is, this thing's going to be revealed by the end of the month. So maybe by next week, and this is just another thing of, if it is next week, just know that there will be an extra an extra Trophy Room episode covering that State of Play. And there will be a stream, so just make sure you're looking out at PS Trophy Room, making sure you're double checking those RSS feeds. But
again, you keep saying State of Play. I think it's going to be a full-blown showcase.
I don't think that.
Neil said at Summer Game Fest, you'll see more Last of Us Part 1 in the coming weeks. You don't do God of War Ragnarok and Last of Us Part 1 in a State of Play. You don't do that.
You don't?
No! You do one or the other and do a whole State of Play on either one.
So do you think that they're like... Oh, my God.
Does Hogwarts Legacy still have a date? A firm date?
That's a good point.
Like, there are a lot of things that are supposed to come out this year on the Sony exclusive or like branded front that we still don't know. Like, I assume they want to show us Forspoken one more time.
Yeah.
I feel like a showcase is coming, not a State of Play.
I don't know, man. I don't think so. I still think it's September because, to me, they already just did a showcase for third party, and that's like some future stuff and some near stuff, like Stray and like Kalisto Protocol. So like, I don't know if it's a showcase. Maybe it's just showcase. Maybe it's a Last of Us God of War showcase, State of Play. But even then, it's like both those games are doing so many big things that like they deserve their own.
Fair.
Cause I don't know. Have you seen any of the gifts for Last of Us Part 2? I'm sorry, Part 1 remake.
Oh my God, Joe! Have I seen the clips? Are you kidding me? How dare they use that Tess one?
Yeah.
The moment before, you know, if you play, you know what happens. How dare you show that? And how dare you make her look so damn good?
Yeah.
Wow.
When they said we got as close to the original performances as possible, they really meant it. And like even now, character models are resembling the actual voice actors. which like Tess is a great example of that. Mm-hmm. Like she looks more like her actress than ever. So yeah, for me, I don't know. I don't know if this is, I don't think there's a showcase like what we think yet. I think that is in September. I think history has kind of shown itself for PlayStation that September is usually the time, but I would love to be wrong. Do not get me wrong. I would love to be wrong. Okay. Just they already showed a little something. And sure. I don't know. Maybe they could do another third party like thing for the holiday, but I think that's about it.
All right.
That said, though, Corey, please be on the show.
Please. We would love
anyone to chat from with Santa you. Monica. Come on down.
Yeah.
The water's fine.
The new creator of Ragnarok, too. I forgot his name is escaping me, but I just want to chat with you.
The janitor that's in one of the offices is chilling. Come on down.
I don't care. Please. Just, I want to talk to you and maybe try to get that giant Kratos statue from your headquarters into my basement.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe we steal that, you know? Maybe there is a little bit of thought.
No, there's no stealing. There's no stealing.
I could take a pen.
Oh, yeah. If you want to send pens our way, I would gladly have a pen from every PlayStation studio.
Please.
What a great collection that would be, right?
Oh, my God, right? Yeah.
That'd be a cool one.
We go to each offices, and then we, like, just steal a pen, like, from the lobby. We just walk out.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
A little petty theft, you know?
A little bit.
You ever steal a fork from Olive Garden?
No.
You ever steal, like, a butter knife from a diner?
Nope.
Just to feel a little something?
Nope. Yeah,
too much of a good egg.
Yeah, exactly. And you want to know why? Sidebar. I went to Walgreens today to I had to buy some COVID tests for the household.
Sure.
Now you know why my life has been a roller coaster the last couple days.
Yeah,
I'm fine as of now.
So far, so good.
But she rang up everything I was buying. I bought like some bunch of Crunch because I was out.
Hell yeah.
Some other medicine, whatever, and I bought the test. She,
you remember the budget crunch? Like, some medicine, I don't know.
I can never say it correctly, so I just don't even try anymore. It's for my tum tum, right. And she didn't
because of the budget crunch.
100%. She didn't scan the COVID tests, and she was like, "Oh, it's only be like $30." I was like, "Oh, did you scan those?" And she goes, "Oh no, I didn't. Thank you for pointing that out, and not just." Running and not paying for them. It's like, no, I need all the good karma I can get. Not a problem.
Oh, look at you.
See, I would never steal anything.
Nah,
if she I'll ask know, politely like, for those pens, sir.
It ain't gonna hurt her. It ain't gonna hurt her, you know? It's like, it's not like any of those people need those tests, you know? That's a joke. Please laugh. There was laughter.
Please clap.
All right, Kyle, one more rundown. The Capcom showcase. Kyle, this is going to be the longest episode we've ever done. And I know normally when I say that, I don't mean it, but this time I mean it. Kyle, take it away.
From friend of the show, Adam Bankhurst at IGN, Capcom showcase, June 2022, everything announced. Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak expansion gets multiple new details and a demo. Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak is a massive expansion to the Switch and PC exclusive Monster Hunter Rise, and a new trailer at Capcom Showcase revealed more details and that it will be getting a demo on June 14th.
Now Cloudside writes in, he says, "Hey guys, it seems Capcom are supporting Monster Hunter Rise well on the Switch. While the Switch is hugely popular, it doesn't have a good online service. With Monster Hunter being an online co-op game, do you think that they will make another Monster Hunter World on PlayStation 5? The original Monster Hunter did better than they expected in the West." Absolutely.
100% they will.
Yeah, that did huge numbers for them.
Over, yeah.
Yeah, so they're definitely probably making it right now and hopefully polishing it up and whatnot. It's just right now, the global situation is that we're all being affected by, you know, all these shortages at the moment. And it sucks and it's inconvenient, but we're going to get it.
That was also on Xbox too, right?
Yep. And it had the Iceborne expansion, which was also very popular.
Yes.
Well.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Kyle. Carry on, good sir.
Exo Primal gets a gameplay trailer, closed network test coming ahead of release. Exo Primal, Capcom's upcoming co-op dinosaur murder action game, has received a new gameplay trailer and the promise of a closed network test before its launch in 2023. The trailer gave a tease of the PvPvE game story, gameplay, and some of the dinosaurs players will need to battle against.
I'm the only person on the internet that thought this was cool.
It looks like dumb fun, just like the Earth Defense Force games are. Yeah.
I'm down. I'm not thinking this is going to be my game of the year.
Stop.
This looks fun.
Also, stop. This will be the general idea for a lot of these stories.
Yeah.
Stop bugging the devs about Dino Crisis. Just because the game has dinosaurs in it doesn't mean it's linked to Dino Crisis.
Yes, please.
We will get that remake eventually. I guarantee it.
You guys have been so loud. They're probably working on it. Just
100%.
Settle. Because, I mean...
Running out of Resident Evil games to remake. Let's be real. They need to go into other Capcom games.
Absolutely. Shit, what do we do after 4?
Let's remake a Resident Evil game that hasn't even been made yet.
Code Veronica. Yeah.
Yeah. Street Fighter 6 to get at least one more announcement in 2022. While we didn't learn anything new about Street Fighter 6, it was revealed that we will be getting more details of the next entry in the Legendary Fighting franchise before the end of the year.
Looks good.
It looks, yeah. Not a huge fan of fighting, as you know from us saying it. Yeah. Game looks real cool.
I can't wait for this announcement of an announcement coming up next.
One of many over the past couple of days. Dragon's Dogma's 10th anniversary event tease, but no sequel announcement. While many were hoping for a Dragon's Dogma 2 announcement at this Capcom showcase, we were only promised that a Dragon's Dogma 10th anniversary event will take place on Thursday, June 16th.
And then it gets overshadowed by this Final Fantasy event that's happening next day.
Sure, but like, why would they do this? To refresh the fan base of what Dragon's Dogma is all about before a sequel comes out. Capcom's thinkers, you know, maybe I'm putting too much stock into it, but I see you.
You know what? I'll let you believe, Kyle. I'll let you believe. Oh, God.
That's what Deep Down turned into. Remember that, Deep Down?
Oh, yeah. Nothing ever came of that game.
Nothing. Yeah. Resident Evil Reverse will officially launch this October. The multiplayer game originally set to launch alongside Resident Evil Village will officially launch on October 28th, 2022. Reverse is a six-player PvP deathmatch game that puts players in the shoes of characters from across the Resident Evil series.
Please don't. Nobody asked for this when you guys delayed it. But Kyle, I think you're like, whatever happened to that Reverse game where I'm like...
Let's not talk about
just it. Just maybe it was quietly snuffed out, you know?
Yeah.
It's taking a long nap, but apparently October 28th.
It's coming. Yeah. Resident Evil 2 Remake, Resident Evil 3 Remake, and Resident Evil 7 free next-gen upgrades are available now. Resident Evil Village is getting a third-person mode. Resident Evil Village is currently only playable in first-person mode, but that will all change later this year when a new third-person mode will be added as part of the Winter's expansion. The new mode will be released on October 28th, 2022, as part of the Winter's Expansion DLC. Had no idea Ethan was a blonde.
Yeah. And how ugly he was.
Sure.
That's all I got. No, this is actually going to get me back in the Village. This actually excites me a lot.
Third person is very cool.
Yeah. It's not like first person's scarier or anything. I'm going to be honest. I'm preferring the third person modes. Over first person lately, so
I love that they're doing that. That's really very, very cool.
Absolutely.
Resident Evil Village Winter's expansion includes Shadows of Rose story DLC. Spoilers for the end of Village. If you don't want to hear it, you can just tune out for a little bit.
Oh, actually, you know what? Then don't even spoil it. There's DLC. It's a big story.
Yeah.
Rose was a baby. Now she's a young adult.
Sure.
So check a look at that trailer
Check a look. October 28th, 2022 is when that comes out alongside the third person mode. Resident Evil Village's Mercenaries mode will soon let you play as Lady D, as well as, oh my God, what is his name?
Oh my goodness.
The Lady other D. villain guy.
Oh, Heisenberg.
Heisenberg. You can also play as him.
And not the one we're thinking, like, Jesse, we need a cook.
No.
What are happening to all these zombies? Jesse! And I'm the one that knocks and just throws doors at people.
Finally, Resident Evil 4 Remake gets new gameplay trailer, appears to confirm major new addition. Resident Evil 4 Remake received a few more seconds of gameplay at the Capcom showcase, and it also may have revealed a major new addition to this updated version. The ability for Leon Kennedy to move while aiming his gun. We were also told the game will feature modern flourishes and that the Ganado have been completely redesigned.
Awesome.
I love these stories.
Yeah.
I do, because it's like, let's grasp at straws for the tiniest little bit of thing that we can gather.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, Resident Evil 4 Remake looks incredible. We're both in. You guys heard us gush about this.
Yeah.
Seeing more of it. Seeing that now he can move his gun or move it while shoot his gun. Pretty crazy.
Can't wait to see him jump out of a third story window and land perfectly on his feet and be A-OK.
Hell yeah. Kyle, we read a lot here. I did really enjoy this showcase, though.
Yeah, it was short to the point.
Yep, only 30 minutes. They gave us
updates on cool stuff. I think the village announcements, I think, stole the show, and rightfully so. But there's enough there.
Yeah, there is enough there. And to me, like, I really did like all the Resident Evil announcements, especially the hey, you could play it here right now and have all the remakes currently on current gen consoles. That's really exciting. With haptic and DualSense support, that's awesome.
3D audio and all that.
All that. There is one issue, though. If you're playing these games on ray tracing mode, it dips. Whether you're on Xbox or PlayStation, it's going to be dipping. So make sure you just go for the steady resolution. That 60 FPS is gonna help you out. Big deal.
Also, a bummer with, I think when it comes to RE7, if you downloaded it through PS Plus or claimed it through PS Plus, you are ineligible for the upgrade, I think.
Okay, that makes sense, though.
It's stupid. It's dumb. It's the same Final Fantasy VII thing all over again.
And that is true. All right. Well, there you go. That's the Capcom showcase. We both thought it was fun.
Next bit of news that needs to be squared up is from Tom Henderson over at Try Hard Times. Official PlayStation 5 Pro controllers coming soon. Sony is working on a genuine professional controller for the PlayStation 5, and the company will reveal new hardware in the coming weeks, sources have claimed. Maybe at a showcase? That's me. It's believed the code name of the controller is Hunt, which will have several interesting features, including removable analog sticks, trigger stops, and rear buttons, or flappy paddles. These claims of such hardware... That was in the article.
That was Tom.
These claims of such hardware came alongside pictures of the alleged prototype, which has been set under the condition that the pictures are not published and the source remains anonymous. Pictures of the controller keep the classic PlayStation 5 style, but show a few key differences. One of the biggest changes is buttons under the analog sticks, which allows you to completely remove the analog sticks, which Sony refers to as removable stick units. Another feature includes the trigger stops at the back of the controller, in addition to flappy paddles buttons that have become increasingly popular over the years, with players turning to companies such as Scuf Gaming and Nacon for such controllers.
Stop, Kyle. I can only get so erect.
Oh, flappy, flappy, flappy.
Oh my God, so many flappy paddles. I love that. It's like, actually, like, it's just back buttons, but he's like flappy paddles. Okay. All right, Tom. Go for the scientific thing. It's like you know, like gold in the on the scientific table. Like,
oh, yeah, the AU?
Yeah, it's the AU. That's it's actually flappy paddles.
Yeah. I wonder why iron is FE, by the way.
Yeah.
I like always that. Wonder that. I'm going to look that
could
up.
Could you just call it like normal names? You don't need scientific names. Like, instead of calling it ibuprofen, can we just call it like, you know,
Tylenol? Stop making my head hurt.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a simpleton. Talk to me like a dummy, for Christ's sakes. This does amazing things for me, Kyle, because this is what I've been wanting for PlayStation since we saw the Elite controller. A controller that I love, but it is built like, let's be honest, it's not built great. I've gone through 3 Elite controllers, and I don't like them one bit. That being said, though, the DualShock 4 back paddles, I really loved that back button attachment because I felt like it was a very low entry for what so many people wanted out of like the Elite controller to begin with. Without spending $200, you're spending $20 on what is essentially giving you 2 back buttons to go do flips and crap off of, you know?
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts here on this new Pro controller? Is it something that you're interested in? You see the value of? Are you like me, where it's just like, finally? Where are you at?
I'm definitely not on the finally train. Unless there's something that I can specifically think of that will help me in the games that I already play.
Yeah.
Which I can't think of, that I need all those extra doodads. I'm fine with the DualSense because it truly is the perfect controller.
I really
As is.
This is just, it really is my favorite controller of all time.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to say it. I love it. It just melts in my hand. But I am wondering like how the paddles are going to work because mm-hmm. this thing's pretty ergonomic and I do squeeze the crap out of these.
Yes, grips. Exactly.
So like that is something I'm
and how are the haptics going to affect the buttons, right?
Yeah. Like, and how maybe do the flappy paddles. I feel like this should be on Pornhub. This video should be talking too much about flappy paddles. But like is that gonna have haptics?
Two guys talk about flappy paddles.
Someone put us on there. Oh, sorry, I broke you.
Oh, jeez.
But like that's just the only real question I have. The other question I would have for this as well is, do we get to switch the D-pad out?
Ooh.
Do we put the D-pad where the analog stick is and the analog stick where the D-pad is so that we can finally move past what is the better controller? Is it asymmetrical? Is it bisymmetrical? It's literally, it doesn't matter, guys. Your thumbs are going to fall into the same
exact place. You grab a controller, it just feels right no matter what you use.
Yeah. And people are like, oh, but your thumbs are going to hit. First off, they don't. You have the longest thumbs in the goddamn world. How are you holding the
controller if your thumbs hit and ruin your experience?
I got to put them halfway for them to touch. Secondly, how many times is that actually happening?
Yeah.
Think about it, all right? And also, while you're thinking about how many times has your thumbs accidentally touched, think about how your tongue never has a nice place to rest. And let those two thoughts haunt you for the rest of your goddamn day.
The talks about thumbs touching and tongues and flappy paddles. If we're not on Pornhub at the end of this episode, I don't know.
I will be very disappointed. And my parents will as well.
Hey, Mom, look where I am.
Look it, we're right
I
under.
I made it.
We're in the category, Ma. You know?
Oh my God, we're in between a bunch of Overwatch videos.
We're right underneath the Family Guy and right above the Overwatch.
Sorry, Timolf's son.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry, but Divas Mech also has flappy paddles, and you are going to be very surprised how they use them.
Oh my God.
All right, let's move past this. God, team, we got
to
try.
We have to.
Sorry. Oh, man, I'm usually so good at this. Kyle, I'm on board with this PlayStation 5 Pro controller.
Yeah.
All of the flappy paddles, indeed. How much do you think this thing's going to land?
Oh, well, DualSenses now are what, $70? Same as in brand new game.
I saw one person go, $120.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Sure.
They sell you plastic panels for $54. This ain't a charity.
No. How much is a Elite for Xbox?
I think it's $200.
I would say probably $225 or $250.
Yeah.
Haptics alone.
Yeah, I think it's going to be about, my hope is $180.
Yeah.
But the realism is probably about like $200.
Yeah.
But real talk, I am gonna like that is a day one purchase for me because of how much multiplayer games I do play on my PlayStation. Mm-hmm. Awesome. The best controller even gets better somehow. Now, Kyle, it is time for flash news. Gotta run, gotta go. Whew, gotta run fast. Oh my God. Okay. And speaking of fast, Gran Turismo. A Gran Turismo pick from Neil Blomkamp gets a Sony release date and new details. This comes from Justin Kroll over in Patrick Pheeps over at Deadline. August 11th, 2023 is the release date for Gran Turismo, the video game adaptation from the director Neil Blomkamp and Columbia Pictures. Justin Hall wrote the screenplay, and PlayStation Productions' Asad Quizzleblash and Carter Swan serve as producers alongside Doug Belgrad and Dana Brunetti. Here are the update log line. Based on a true story, the film is the ultimate wish fulfillment tale of a teenage Gran Turismo player whose gaming skills won a series of Nissan competitions to become an actual professional race car driver.
Okay.
Listen, this is a weird movie, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you it does. That's not
it's
actually
like Little Big League.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that it's not interesting.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. Like it could be fun. Yeah.
Again, like I loved Ford versus Ferrari, and that's.
Can I be real though?
What's that?
Why the hell is Neil Blomkamp directing this kind of movie?
That is because, like,
dude, why is he not doing Returnal or like a Killzone or yes. Resistance or something?
Dude, our good friend of the show Graham literally tweeted like Neil Blomkamp needs to actually direct Returnal.
Yeah,
that is up his alley.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand this.
Gran
at all.
Turismo seems so safe and so real and so different. And maybe that's
so down to earth.
Yeah. And maybe that's why. Yeah, I do sure. think also District 10 is happening. Someone let me know. I'm not.
Oh, person. Okay.
So maybe he wants to just kind of distance himself from all the weird sci-fi that's stuff and fair. Have something grounded. But like, I'm really not going to be the person that's going to tell you this sucks or why yeah. does this need to happen? As long as it's a good story and it's acted well, then. Who cares if it's needed? Did I need Top Gun Maverick? No. Did I walk out of the movie theater going, did I actually like a Tom Cruise movie? No. I walked out going, I actually loved that Tom Cruise movie. Like, it was amazing. It happened. We loved it. So, to me, everybody just settle. I get it. It's fun to be skeptical. I get it. It's fun. It's too much. All right? It's too much. Hey, Kyle, have you heard about this? Have you seen this? New update for the Share Factory Studio unleashes bits on PlayStation 5 today. We are excited to have a new update for the free editing app, Share Factory Studio, for the PlayStation 5. We've been hard at work to bring you brand new feature called Bits. It's life starting today. That's a weird comma you put there. Just letting you know, Sid. Bits is a simplistic way of personalizing and sharing gameplay clips and screenshots to your friend on PlayStation 5. Choose from one of many curated bit styles and quickly create your own version of the familiar trending meme. So this is actually cool because you could put animated GIFs on the screen, and then you could also put like lower thirds with your name and all that stuff on it to make it look a little bit more professional. Cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, so we're trying to all just become SUNY Legend then.
Kind of. It's like, hey, you want to be SUNY Legend? And we're like, yeah. I don't touch Share Factory much because, I mean, humble brag, I have Premiere. Thank you, patreon.com/PSTrophyRoom. But, like, to me, I just love the share button on PlayStation. Like, Jez Gordon was like, we can't even get our audio to sync right with the videos on Xbox, and PlayStation's like showing off at this point. That's how I feel. Like, the share button and the edit button is so seamless on PS5, and to see this even just be implemented is a really nice feature to have.
We are so close to making our own versions of the PlayStation Studios ripping off of popular meme GIFs.
Yeah.
Like the Ellie winking and the Kratos doing the Ron Swanson dance.
Exactly.
Like, if we have the ability to put whatever game character into a meme format like that That'd with this program neat. In the future,
yeah,
I will lose countless hours messing around with this.
Absolutely. Also, I misplaced this question. Hey, Humbucker writes in. You almost got me. I'm still confused how Gran Turismo movie will work. As far as I know, Gran Turismo's never had a story. And I will just say there, that's exactly why this is probably going to pay off.
Yeah.
You have so much creative leeway. There's nothing holding you back. All you got to do is show a Nissan, show a car that goes vroom, vroom fast, and put Gran Turismo.
No one's going to be like, this is strayed so far from the base game.
Exactly.
This isn't the Gran Turismo I know and love. Does it have racing in it? Then shut up.
Yeah. All the main character has to do is stare right directly in the screen and say car culture once, and we're all going to point to the screen. Like the Leo GIF.
Exactly. Like,
that we're going to do in Share Factory.
Yeah.
So like, to me, it's actually, this gives them the most creative leeway to do whatever they want.
Yep.
It's awesome. There's nothing restricting them. And it's a great way synergistically of thinking of like, yeah, you're going to get the Gran Turismo fans at this movie, and you're going to get car fans as well at this movie as well. So like, to me, it makes sense. All right. That said, Kyle, I want you to take a look at this picture. And I know this is an audio show, and you may not be on YouTube watching.
Uh-huh.
But this flash news I need your help on. Because
okay.
The snitch over on Twitter has a tweet. This is a new a segment we like to call Rumor Has It. Has a tweet of a blue square, green square, red square, and black square. And then underneath those squares is an image of Final Fantasy. Of Aerith. Her back is turned. It looks like some another hot boy is grabbing Cloud, who's seemingly on the corner here. And he also has a big ass blade. I'm not a Final Fantasy guy. Tell me how this makes sense. What is the snitch trying to reveal to us? Because if you guys go, who is the snitch? Guess what? The snitch is this elusive character who has, we don't know how.
At insider underscore WTF. Joined in May of this year, last month.
Every single leak they've done.
15 tweets.
Every tweet is 100% accurate.
Yeah. Is time travel real, Joe?
No, I think someone worked at YouTube, saw these videos, and that's what's real.
Totally fair.
But what is this picture?
Just for example, like on June 8th, the snitch tweeted out part one, September 2nd, 2022, with a picture of a controller and a computer.
Yeah. And that was alluding to
Last of Us. That was even before the PlayStation leak of The Last of Us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then a picture of Hollow Knight with the clown wig on June 10th with a green dot day one.
Yeah.
It's coming to Game Pass.
Yeah.
Day one. How is he doing this? Yeah. So back to this Final Fantasy picture. Yeah. Obviously, those colors mean PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC.
So 7 Remake is coming to Xbox and Nintendo?
You would think Remake.
Yeah.
However,
okay.
Spoilers for FF7, everybody. And when I say spoilers, this is for the base game. I'm still a little iffy on it because I never played this side game.
Okay.
Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core is a story about Zack. Zack is the other cute hot boy with the black hair.
Yeah.
You notice in this picture.
If he kissed me, I wouldn't fight back.
Sure.
I kind of didn't do anything.
If you see this picture, what does he have on his back there, Joe?
God, hopefully me. A blade. Like, that's the Buster Sword.
That is the Buster Sword. So, the story has it from the base game. Zack is really the one that fell in love with Aerith.
Oh.
Zack is the one who's higher up in the soldier program. And Cloud is just a lonely sentryman. Oh. He is a basic... like nobody. Again, I'm a little rusty, never played the game. I'm from memory. Right.
From what you've
heard. At the end of Crisis Core, you're basically playing through Zack being in Soldier and everything in Crisis Core. You are Zack. And you are the original owner of the Buster Sword and all that stuff. At the end of Crisis Core is the cutscene we get at the end of Remake Part 1.
Oh, okay. And that's it. That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
And then of... eventually, Cloud loses his memory, and he takes on... He thinks he's Zack.
Okay. And in the base game, whatever. Yeah.
In the base game.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and Aerith knows Zack, and everyone knows Zack, but they're kind of like... It's very weird. Again, very rusty.
Right.
So are these
weird feelings that I'm having when I'm thinking, do you think Zack and Cloud are going to kiss?
Man,
I mean, let's
I don't know.
These feelings are new.
Do I think this is Remake Part 2? Could be. What I think this might be?
Okay.
I think this might be a Crisis Core remaster or a Crisis Core remake to catch us up to speed before Part 2.
Do you think this is like a DLC, like the Yuffie DLC?
I think this is its own standalone thing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That will come to all platforms.
Huh.
Before Part 2. Not saying we're not going to see Part 2 tomorrow, because I'm still holding out hope. But this will also make sense if we get a Crisis Core remaster remake as being like the you do not want to miss this kind of event that the Square Enix influencer manager is saying about tomorrow's thing.
It's only 10 minutes long.
It's only 10 minutes long. Yeah.
I'm excited. I liked the 7 remake. So I'm down, and I know nothing, and everything you already just said flew out my brain. I'm just looking at Zach's muscly face. Anyway, so yeah, there's that. Yeah, looks great. I don't know. Yeah. I'm excited. I don't know what this is, but like at the end of the day, if more people get to play it, that's great. I do think, here's a weird thing, Kyle. Why isn't Square, why wasn't this announcement at the Xbox showcase? That's a real question I was trying to find a second ago.
I feel like Square might have been petty. And we're like, oh, you have Persona there? Oh, we're not showing up. Obviously not. But like, right. I could see the Xbox wanting to not take away from the Persona announcements that have been asked for forever.
Yeah. And apparently a lot of the announcements were embargoed out of Xbox. So like, meaning if you're a multi-platform game, you weren't able to say also on PlayStation and Nintendo for 24 hours, supposedly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not very Phil-like. Phil wouldn't do that to me.
Also, again, the thing I hated most about the second extended show happened. They announced new things there and showed new things there that weren't in the main show. I hate it. They really? Showed Slymancer 2, I'm pretty sure. Showed Master Chief helmets coming to Fall Guys.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That trailer was hilarious. Yeah.
It's great. Why was that not in the main show?
I don't know, man.
How dare you?
How dare you? All right. Listen, that's rumor has it. It's now time to prepare the drop. Oh, wait, sorry. Are you holding on to something? I'm so rusty this week. We've been having these special shows for 2 weeks. I don't know.
I know. Hey, speaking of a special show, if you're listening to this on release day, come check out us reacting to that Final Fantasy VII Celebration stream
with
the
hours.
One and only Kevin Diaz and Cam Hawkins, who will be joining us for 10 minutes of us just crying and yelling while Joe's like, what's going on?
Well, it's like I took my kids to the emo concert or like the dad at the Warped Tour.
The dad at the like the Ariana Grande or NSYNC concert. Yep. Just like, all right,
I'm just here for my kids. Yeah.
But where's also, the beer?
if you're a patron, you can watch the VOD over at patreon.com/PS Trophy Room. We do that because if we put it up live, it will just get flagged. It will just get not demonetized, but then like Square will like put all their ads on it, and I don't want that to happen to you guys. So that's why it's on Patreon. So at the dollar tier, you don't have to throw the big bucks at that. All right. So prepare the drop. Here are the latest steals and deals headed to the PlayStation storefront this week, June 13th. We'll Die Alone. For PlayStation 5, Resident Evil 2 Remake and Resident Evil 3 and Resident Evil 7 Remake, all for the PlayStation 5. June 14th, Crazy Chicken Extreme for the PlayStation 5 and PS4. Discovery Tour Viking Age for PS5 and PS4. Ganbare Super Strikers on PlayStation 5. The Hand of Merlin on PlayStation 5 and PS4. Zorro, The Chronicles. Ooh, Zorro. All right. PS5 and PS4. Dadish 3 on PS4. Death Run TV on PlayStation 5. Thunder Kid 2, The Null Mission on PS5 and PS4. On June 16th, we have Arcade Archives, The Space Seeker on PS4. Deadcraft, It Came from the Junkyard on PS5 and PS4. Redout 2 on PS5 and PS4. I know our good friend over at the Xbox Expansion Pass, Luke Lore, had an interview with that team a few weeks back. You should check that out. Enough plugs. He's gotten enough. Because you know what Luke Lore did last week, our good friend of XCP? He threw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge under the goddamn bus. He had an interview. They said something. And in that interview, it was picked up everywhere. And apparently some people maybe were upset about it. So blame Luke Lore over at XCP. He was a man that did this. But Kyle, you got to play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. And quickly, man, like, how did you like it? Because this is, yet again, I believe the name of the studio's
Tribute.
A tribute?
Dotemu is the publishing. Man. I believe they're publishing.
So Tribute
Games started the devs.
This is their second game that they've gone back into the retro pile to kind of have a spiritual successor of Streets of Rage, and then we have the spiritual successor of Turtles in Time, which is Shredder's Revenge, out on PlayStation 4. So, Kyle, I loved these old beat 'em ups back in the day, man. This Turtles in Time means so much to me as just such a strong part of my childhood. How does Shredder's Revenge hold up?
Joe, what if I told you this is the perfect beat 'em up ever made?
No.
What if I told you this is the best beat 'em up ever made?
No, I'd call you a liar.
What if I told you that this is the Turtles version of Arkham Asylum to Batman?
What?
This game is perfection.
Oh my God.
I love Shredder's Revenge.
Oh my God.
It is everything that you think of when you think of those old school arcade beat 'em ups, but just as approachable can be. Hey, do you hate when you play old school beat 'em ups and use a special and your health gets taken away because you're doing that?
Yeah.
Well, at least in story mode, which is the only mode I've played, I haven't touched arcade, so it might be different. But in story mode, that doesn't happen. You have a power level bar, and that is what you takes your special from. Mm. All the enemies stay on the screen. There is no enemies hidden off screen that will give you cheap shots if you're standing too close to them. Okay. They never leave the screen, so you always know where all the enemies are at one
time. That's nice.
There is strategy to it. Like, there are Foot Clan soldiers that are holding a shield that, yeah, you can just whack away at it and eventually you will defeat them. Or you can hold down the attack button and unleash a charged attack, which will knock the shield away, and then they just become a regular foot soldier and easier to kill.
Oh, wow.
There's sliding attacks. There are different specials. There's a down special when you're up in the air. There's a slide special. There's... The game is just jam-packed with just a love letter to beat-em-ups, which is obvious because Tribute and Dotemu did Streets of Rage 4, which is excellent. Mm-hmm. But, like, the love letter to Turtles and visually taking inspiration from the old Turtles toys, the Easter eggs are there. Again, that's where I mean by the Arkham Asylum to this is the Turtles version. There are things from the cartoons and comics and toys, whatever, that you will see in the background or whatever and be like, oh, my God, that's awesome. Cameos from other Turtles things pop up. And, like, it's great. It really onboards the player extremely well.
That's awesome.
They have collectibles, but it's not like, oh, I wonder where they all are. No, they will tell you which levels they are in. So, you don't have to worry about, like, just replaying things, just to replay things. Each level has, at least in story mode, has three challenges, and they tell you what they, like, it does the thing, too. So like, if you complete two of them and go back, you don't have to do all three again. Those two are already completed, and you only have to worry about one.
So, my question here for you is, does each Turtle and April,
Casey, and Splinter,
do they all fight the same, or...
They all have different strengths and weaknesses. So I played as Leo first and foremost because Leo's my boy, the best turtle. Fight me on it. I'm sure somebody later will fight me on it. They each have three categories. So like there's a strength, there's a range, and then I believe there's a special. And it's like on a star system. So Leo is like balanced throughout. So everything's two stars. But like, for example, Raphael, who is super strong. So he's super strong, but his range is super short. Mm. And his special is kind of like in the middle, I think, if I remember correctly. So there are advantages and disadvantages for every character you use. I did not get to play co-op, so I don't know how they gel together. Mm-hmm. But I played a little bit of co-op at PAX and it felt great. Like,
nice.
It is so approachable. So if you have a kid, a young kid or somebody that doesn't play games a whole lot and you're worried if this is too much for them, it absolutely is not. It is so forgiving. It teaches you what to do in story mode, at least, which is, again, the only thing I played. There is no game over, really. Mm-hmm. Like if you run out of lives, the level just ends and you just restart the level. Okay. Like you don't go all the way back to the beginning. It's got like a nice little overworld and everything. It's a giant love letter to Turtles. That's fantastic.
Awesome. Now Clear Wings writes in, is the game everything you hoped it would be, or are there some hiccups with it?
So I'm genuinely trying to find hiccups.
That's awesome.
It is near perfect when it comes to arcade beat 'em up. What I wanted is what I got, and then some. I think the only thing as a trophy hunter, right? And somebody that wants to do all the challenges. Like, there are some challenges in some of the levels where, like, complete the whole level without getting hit. And you get hit, and instead of going to pause and just hit a button that says restart level, you have to back all the way out to the main menu and then reload back in. That's a little clunky and a little bit of a bummer, but that is, like, the only thing that I could come up with that I'm like, man, this game isn't, like, perfect.
Okay. Is this on your short list for Game of the Year?
100% is.
Holy shit. All right.
It's high praise because it deserves it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to put in some time in arcade mode and play alongside you, Joe. And six-player co-op, I heard, is really, really cool.
Real talk, we need to stream this. Friday, I get some pizza, and we just stream it.
I'm down.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
The good sir writes in, just like you can, too, if you head on over to @ PS
Trophy. Wait, are we at Yeehaw?
No, not yet. Don't worry. I would never I would never prematurely yeehaw. Oh my gosh, you sound like a
kindergartner. Hey, Mr. Joe, we at yeehaw time yet?
No.
Mr. Joe, I gotta go potty.
Oh god.
Where are my apple slices?
Anybody got some orange slices? Good sir writes, and like you can too, over at the Trophy Room Discord server. You link down below. Come join this awesome community. One. Please tell me this game is worth spending the $75 on the Turtle Green vinyl out of the UK? !! Good sir. Sounds like yes.
Yeah. Soundtrack is amazing. There's some tracks that I want to keep a secret because they're awesome.
Okay.
Also, original voice actors as well.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
There's no, like, actual spoken dialogue in the story, like cutscenes. It's very straight up the old school arcade text on the screen. But as you're fighting, you hear the one-liners, and it is them. It's awesome. Very cool.
Also, what kind of personal pan pizza are you guys getting?
I'm not going to use it. As like a collector's item thing, I think it's cool. Also, I'm not at all salty that my pizza closed because somebody drove into it twice within a two-month period.
Okay, one more sidebar. So wait, whoa.
I've told this story before.
Patreon.com/PSShowroom.
Yeah, maybe afterwards at the post show. Yeah.
I saw this. I watched Sidebar one more time. It's the last time, I promise. I saw a tweet. It was the most perfect tweet. Little Caesars is now the official of the NHL.
I know what tweet you're talking about.
And some guy goes, oh my God, they actually did it. Someone out pizzaed the hut.
Yep. Little Caesars. Oh my Little God. Caesars. In 2022. Pizza. Wow.
Maybe I get some Pizza Hut for that one. You know? I feel like that's appropriate. Was it Pizza Hut in one of the main movies, like in the 80s, 90s?
I believe Domino's was the pizza chain in the movies, I think.
Yeah.
And it got, I could be wrong.
Yeah, that's how you know they're turtles living in the sewer. You're living in New York City and you got Domino's.
Sbarro, best pizza in New York City.
Gonna go get a classic slice. All right, number three. Clearly, this game is hype. But however, what's something you wish was changed, no matter how small? I guess it's just the
trophy. It's just the level thing. It's the only thing I can really think of. Yeah.
All right, here's the last question about this game. The Muffin Mon writes in, question for Kyle. I listened to your wonderful Shredder's review over on 6-1 Indie. My question is, why do you perpetrate the lie that Leonardo is the best when it's clearly Donatello? On a serious note, do you guys think this game should have launched on PlayStation Plus like it did on Game Pass? Or would that even be possible? I don't think it's possible.
Yeah, I don't know if it would have been possible.
Deals are signed, yeah.
I think Xbox threw a lot of money for Game Pass for this one.
Yeah, absolutely they did.
First of all, there is no lie. Leo is the best. Yeah.
I like how Muffin Man is like the big lie.
You know? Exactly.
The big lie that is, yeah.
I think now looking back on it, I think that's why I love the color blue so much.
Oh, yeah?
It's because of Leo. Hmm. I mean, come on, a turtle with two swords. Come on.
Yeah, but he never fucking uses them.
In this game, he does a whole lot.
Good. I want to see bodies in half, mangled.
Ooh, I don't know if we get that.
I want to see a hand lopped off. We all know the best turtle is Michelangelo, though. Donatello. Sure. Donatello's the one with the stick, right?
Oh, don't disrespect Donnie.
Just gonna say, Muffin Mon, you could have said Raphael. You chose the lamest goddamn turtle.
Raph is the worst. I'm sorry. I hate Raph.
I know. He's just angry.
It's he's like, got an anger problem.
Find
man.
A different emotion that's not anger, please.
Yeah.
All right, Kyle. Now it's time for the Sony Pony Express.
Yeehaw!
Of course, you can write your questions in again over at us at PS Trophy Room on Twitter or over on our Discord server, link down in the description. And Toxic writes in, I was late to the game with Elden Ring. I waited first when it was on sale before trying it out, and I loved every minute of it and got the platinum.
Hey, congrats.
Congratulations, and I'm very jealous. I know the update I played was 1.4, and they just released 1.5. That gave a ton of quality of life tweaks. It had me wondering, have you guys revisited the game since launch? I didn't. I have my experience soured by many bugs that were present at launch, but I also know the lack of quest log was rough. It was. Regardless, I actually can't stop thinking about this game and now want to do a new game plus. Have you guys dived back into a game, into a playthrough, or have you already gotten your fill with no interest of returning?
Yeah.
I think about it almost every day.
So here's the thing. I thought about it every day, which is why I rushed to platinum it, so that way I'd be done with it.
Yeah.
I can't even fathom thinking of a plus playthrough now because of Elden Ring just consuming everything when it came out is the reason why I haven't finished Forbidden West yet. It's, I know you have a Steam Deck. Man, you need to clean your screen.
I poke it a lot.
Oh, yeah, sure. But yeah, Elden Ring is pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm trying not to think about going back in because I know it's going to consume everything again.
I'm going back in.
Oh, good luck.
I have a week off in July.
Okay.
Papa's going back in. Papa's going to 2-day plat that baby.
Whew.
I know how to do it. Real talk, I'm going to say something that's going to make me sound elitist. Elden Ring is the easiest Souls game. I'm just going to walk in and I'm just going to slice and dice and I'm just going to get it done.
All right.
And I'm not going to even save scum it. I'm going to do New Game Plus Plus because that's the type of player I am, Kyle.
I mean, sure.
One of the real ones.
I mean, I beat it.
I mean, you did.
I beat the final boss 3 times. What are you trying to talk about, right? Man, did you
beat any other boss 3 times?
Did I have to? No. It gave me the option to do the save method.
All right. I just want to know how you sleep at night, you son of a...
Soundly. Soundly.
All right, Yuna writes in, hey guys, welcome to mid-June where we are past the not E3 showcases. Dipped our toes into the backlog for the summer, and I fell in love with a priest in one of the best JRPG worlds.
Oh, Yuna.
My question is this week is what games do you think the voice acting of the game makes that game more immersive for you? I've been going through Trails of in the Sky trilogy and to get ready for Trails to Zero in September. I also added the Japanese voice acting. I'm playing it on PC because there's no current gen versions. Don't worry, I'm not blaming you. And the voice acting for the battles in English as it stands right now. Isn't that great? My dyslexia kicked in. You know, I'm sorry. I think to myself all the time while I'm playing, I could not imagine this without voice acting because otherwise I would just be reading text for 50 to plus 100 hours. Would you not imagine it any other way? So I throw the ball to you guys now. What games do you think voice acting made the game even better and more immersive? I'm thinking about how I butchered all of that because my dyslexia eyes went all over the page. I don't know why.
You did a good job. You did a good job.
Thank God. Kyle?
Yeah?
I think of constantly Last of Us.
Sure. Last of Us for sure.
Yeah.
I think of Walking Dead Season 1 and Season 2, actually.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, it banks on that, dude.
Yeah. I don't think that game would have hit as hard as it would if you didn't have, Dave Fennoy as Lee. And why am I blanking on who played Clem? I can see your face.
I could just hear Dave Fennoy saying, come over here, Clem. It's like, oh.
Keep your hair short. That's for sure. Another one, though. Yeah. As I'm trying to find the voice actress. Melissa Hutchinson. There you go, of Clem. I'm going to say Portal 2.
Yes.
Portal 2 is only better because of the witty banter of Wheatley.
Yeah.
And GLaDOS.
Yeah.
With those two together, if you just had to read those jokes and not hear them acted out, would not nearly be as funny.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think of games like Red Dead Redemption 2, which, like, it didn't jive with me as a Red Dead fan, but
yeah,
the voice acting is impeccable. Mm-hmm. And, like, Arthur Morgan is so, by golly, geez, Arthur Morgan, I'm just going to do it in the whole goddamn voice, by God. Arthur Morgan's voice is just incredible. It's impeccable. It's he's a protagonist I didn't want to play as if I'm, you know, if I could be an honest engine. But by golly, geez, I loved him. And then you got Dutch, which always has a plan. But let me tell you, he never has a plan. And, like, his acting there, I do declare it was something intriguing, to say the very least.
Hey, can we do a throwback real quick?
Yeah.
What kind of sandwich you making today?
Well, listen, I was thinking about this over a nice Reuben sandwich.
Yeah?
Nice salami, provolone, lettuce, tomato. Mm. Some, you know, the carpetbaggers up north call it tomato.
Not here.
Not here. Uh-uh. Not south of the Mason-Dixon line. That's what I say. Here in the Dakota territories, we call it tomato. And I know that's just whatever. You understand. Searching for gold. Yeah, it's that voice acting, dude. It's
yeah.
I think of those performances again. I think of, like, Joel and Ellie, man.
It's hard not to, right?
It's hard not to. I was literally talking to my coworker about it because, like, we were talking about, like, she wanted to name her kid Leia, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. I want to name my daughter Ellie. And I was like, reason one of the very good fictional characters. Like, I had to be like,
yeah.
You'll understand in a year, you know, when the HBO show comes out. So, yeah, that's it for me. That said, Dwane Raksha writes in, is DLC dead? With great game creation budgets being as big as they are and development taking time taking as long as it does for analog side ongoing patches, it seems to me at least that there hasn't really been a lot of actual DLC / expansions for AAA games since Spider-Man, Ubisoft games in general, and Iki Island for Ghost of Tsushima being huge exceptions. We got a lot of new game plus patches for a few months down the road, like Horizon Forbidden West, and maybe some limited additional content for co-op and Returnal. But as long as it stands for expansion of the universe with additional stories that used to happen all the time, this is not a complaint. I just prefer the resources are put into new games or experiences. I'm just interested in what you think. I think this is another reason why, again, COVID's impact of the world. I think this is the year where we see it has, and I've said this multiple times, we're seeing the impact this year of COVID on game development. And I think the reason why you're not seeing DLC is because I think those smaller experiences, or maybe, you know, don't make sense monetarily, then putting that budget towards just a big game down the line to get that out the door because you're having so much trouble getting it out the door to begin with. Alongside that, I definitely think it's easier to go put a roguelite element in Assassin's Creed Valhalla than it is to make a whole new Assassin's Creed roguelite smaller experience, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right.
I'm still not throwing it out of, I don't know why I said throw it out of court. I was thinking, I'm not going to throw it out of court or anything. They're not being Horizon DLC for Forbidden West.
Yeah.
Like, the Frozen Wilds for Zero Dawn came out roughly almost a year later or something along those lines. So, like, it's still too early to say when it comes to Horizon. But I also look at, like, Miles to Spider-Man, And Miles could have totally been DLC.
Sure.
Like they did its own little spin-off game that was not as long. And I think that might become like the future.
Yeah.
Of these DLC things. And then any updates will be like, yeah, new game plus, new outfits, tinkering to the menus and non like critical parts of the game, like transmog for Forbidden West, right? Changing your outfits or, you know, Ghost of Tsushima Legends, like a multiplayer mode or something like that, that doesn't really have like critical story stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. There you have it. And the last question, this comes from Yokai, who writes, if Jak and Daxter were to receive a reboot, would you buy it?
Yeah. you kidding me?
Yokai, toss me a hardball next time here, buddy. Of course.
Yeah.
I was, real talk, I was looking at the collection, and I'm like, Jak 1 isn't on it. Strange. But Jak 2, Jak 3 are.
What collection are you talking about?
On the PlayStation 2.
They're all there.
I didn't see Jak 1.
No, I'm pretty sure they're all there.
Oh, hot damn. Then that's what I'm going to be playing next. I lied to you guys. It's not that anymore.
I'm pretty sure they're there. Let me check.
All right. Okay. While I intro you out, you're going to check?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So that said, everybody, that has been the Trophy Room this week. I hope you all enjoyed. I hope you liked what you heard. Kyle, is there anything you'd like to pimp on out before you get on out of here, sir?
Sure, I like to pimp out myself, Mr. K-Step, on Twitter and everything else. Sure. If you want to check out all the cool indie game coverage that 61 Indie and I did alongside Point in Progress over the past weekend and what we are going to continue to be doing for these smaller showcases, hit up 61indie.com. That's SIXONEINDIE.
Yeah.
As well as YouTube and all that as well under the same thing.
I think, honest to goodness, I'm going through something right now. And I think it's because of the heat that I'm in.
Yeah.
Because I literally just rehearsed an old Trophy Room line of like years ago. Because you usually say highlight or showcase what you got.
Yeah.
This is not Pimp My Ride. Why would I say that? I don't know.
Yeah, all three Jacks are on there.
All right, then. I'm downloading
including them. Jak X Combat Racing.
Hot damn.
Yeah.
Does it have trophy support?
I believe those are the PS2 version, like classic games. So, I think they all do.
They better have it.
Yeah.
And you can find us here over at PS Trophy Room on Twitter. You can find me over at Mr. Badbit on Twitter. You can find the show wherever you find your podcast service of choice. Again, please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. It really does help us out. Go over to Spotify, listen for about, you know, a minute or two. And then you can literally just hit us with a review of 5 stars. But, you know, you can fast forward all the way to the end and then you can rate us. And that helps us out tremendously. And yeah, everybody, thank you all so much for your support over the past coming weeks. It's been insane. So thank you all so very much. And with all that said, with all that out of the way, everybody, keep your wits about you. Keep hunting and keep playing PlayStation. See you guys.
Bye-bye. I love you.